This is Luscious Lou, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate. If you love comics, you'll be into it. Listen to the Comic Syndicate. If movies make you contemplate, your science will accommodate. Twitter for communication, at Comic Syndicate 1. I was drowning in a sea of podcasts, and I found the one I need at long last. Book reviews, the news, and sex facts. It's more than anyone could ask for. The Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Yeah, yeah. The Comic Syndicate Podcast.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 346. I'm your host, Josias, at For the Villain on Twitter, at Comic _ Syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? Let's hit it like we normally do, because I'm going to have a long fucking show for you guys. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 246, I entitled hashtag Time to Quit. Tuesday, February 5th, 2019, this one was recorded. When we spoke about 100 episodes ago, goes into editing woes, hits quick bullet points, and goes into comic talk, comic news, comic reviews, Hulu, Funko movie in development at Warner Brothers, Star Wars Episode 9 rumors, New Mutants movie, future X-Men talk, DC Arrow cancellation / renewal, Birds of Prey, the Batman and Suicide Squad 2 news, and finally rock some comic reviews, books of the week. Marvel Comics, Man Without Fear, number 2 and number 3, with one of these being already Book of the Year candidate. Please give a like, share, and subscribe to the Comic Syndicate Podcast, blah, 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 blah. I did not record an episode of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, which I'm glad I did not. So, let's start off the show with some the usual suspects first. Now, these ones are going to be really cool, and I'm going to go into long stories. I brought an article for this week, and little did I know, Josias is not going to need an article, which is because just fucking talk, motherfucker, just fucking talk, and I think people will get it, your audience will get it. But usual suspects, Alex, I love you, homie. Episode 345.1, because this vid is old, I'm assuming he means episode, is old. I don't have much to say except hearing things in hindsight, like talks about the Pirates movie that sucked. You're correct. Prediction on re-movies, being ass, etc. Resident Evil, being ass, etc. It's just weird to hear these predictions and knowing the outcome. Well, that's what we did. Also, dude has got to move away from the microphone to vape. Let me stop there real quick. Alex, you don't even know. I love Adam. He's one of my homies. And we used to get so much fucking slack and shit for that. And the whole vape and vaping into the mic fucking sucked. And I would tell him, dude, if you're going to fucking do that, like fucking don't do it into the fucking microphone. At least blow it away. But he finally got it and understood it. So, Alex, thank you for catching that. Yes, we understand. Now, there were a few people, like, weird. One of the reviews we had gotten way back in the day was, these guys sound good, but that asshole vaping into the mic fucking is really killing the fucking show. So, Alex, again, I completely get it. He continues on, Alex. The chocolate rain dude did it for breathing to not interrupt the song. I thought my neighbor's broken pool filter was collapsing for the first few times. As for the beginning part, I don't know what to say beyond what I said the first time I heard of this, and I don't think I can try to reassure you on the man's death, because this was however long it was ago, and I feel you've probably finished the stages of grief for that by now. Regardless, if you ever want to talk, I'm here for you, man. And that was just a one-on-one conversation further from there between Alex and I told him straight up, dude, I do appreciate just you listening and understanding in a weird way and him getting it. And this was late night every time Alex and I fucking chat, which is fucking weird. So that's the first of the usual suspects. The second one is really fucking cool and really rad, and I'm going to read it to you guys right now. How to find it. And then I'm going to go into the bullet points and everything. Listen to the new episode. I never heard that episode. And this is Andrew Lewis. So the intro cat Andrew Lewis. Listen to the new episode. I never heard that old episode. It's really amazing, dude. I'm so sorry for your loss, and I'm sorry I never knew. I consider you a friend. I text you the same stuff I text. I text you the same stuff I text my best pals. I praise you more, but that's because you're cooler. I'm gushing, and I'll stop, but you are an amazing human. Love you, pimp. And he continues on. I used to take hella Ambien too. If you can manage to stay awake, it's insane. It's been years and years, but that little comment hurt my heart because it hit hard. What I told Andrew was, I always appreciate you and your words, Andrew. And same thing I tell all you guys. I swear I talk to, and this is my text to fucking, to Andrew. I swear I talk to you and Eric more than I talk to my best friends sometimes. But I also consider you a friend, so thanks for your words again. Also, dude, these are great. I love the lyrics on Fumble. I'm going to play that for you at the end of the show, guys. Now, this is why I was able to do it. So now we get to talk fucking bullet points. I'm going to go down my line right here. I brought an article for you guys, but I really want to give you guys some fucking solid insight and input on my life and what the fuck happened and why I did it. So first of all, I went to Las Vegas for my sister's, her best friend's birthday and the girl's birthday, all within the same time period in April. And I had no time to work on anything. Not like I didn't. I took off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from the office, from both jobs, really, and went out to Vegas. And it's the first vacation I've had proper in a long fucking time. But that being said, it's not a vacation because, number one, it's fucking Vegas. And the constant, I'm a gambler, I'm a drinker, that's in me. And went out, had a fucking blast with my sister and her boyfriend and then the girl and my nephew. And the whole purpose behind this was to babysit my nephew. My sister's boyfriend pitched, like, dude, would you mind babysitting so we can watch a Dita Von Teese show? And it's like, dude, it's my fucking nephew, of course. Baby nephew, of course. I'll put you up for the weekend. Dude, you don't have to do that. The most payment you can give me is, like, let me babysit my nephew, and I'm cool with that. He's like, no, for doing that, like, I want to do something nice for you. Sweetheart gesture. So it's like, yeah, fuck yeah, dude, let's do it. So went out to Vegas. I had X amount of money that I normally give myself. $300 was my limit to take out and gamble and play with. Josias, you can't afford to lose $300, so make it fucking count, is what Vegas is. And $20, I was able to come up fucking $240 the whole weekend, which is not bad and it's not terrible. Because I took $300 to go out and have a good time. And granted, the food, the drinks, everything got expensive because it is Vegas. So even though the $300 I took initially to gamble with, it's more like, okay, let's take you guys out now. Like, let's go to the Mandalay Bay. Like, they have a shark exhibit. Let me take you guys out. Like, thank you for putting me up for the room for the weekend, but also let me do something nice and kind for you guys. And it was great. And drinks and breakfast and lunches get expensive. I came up $240 cash off of $20 in Vegas, which is normally unheard of. And I took $20 of those winnings, and I'm a huge sports guy. I put $20 on the Steelers to win, not just the league, not the division, not the conference, but to win the whole Super Bowl. And the booker's like, are you sure you want to do this? Fuck yeah. $20. The odds, I believe, were 50-1. So if the Steelers win the Super Bowl this year, I win $1,000. It's not a terrible loss. Especially, I came up $240. So technically, I'm looking okay. Again, on top of everything else, I've lost gambling, drinks more, and food more than anything. More than anything. Had a great time. So I put out that filler episode in particular because if I ever am missing from a weekend, if I ever disappear, have something to do, I wanted to give fresh content for you guys. I always want to be consistent as I can for people so you guys can have something to listen to on your days you're working or if you're hanging out and you guys like listening to the show. I want to put out content for you guys. So, Alex, I love your compliments and even words, dude, like alone. I put that one out in particular. I pulled out like a bunch from the archives. So when I say, guys, I have a full archive, I have a full catalog, like that is the catalog. And if you guys don't, and I'm cool if you guys don't ever go back to listen to the old episodes, you guys don't have to. But I picked like a good 7 episodes and I'm like, fuck, okay, which one do you want to play, Josias? Do you want to play the one that is really hurtful and might be sad and might be depressing? Or do you want to play all the funniest right out of the gate? I thought I would get the most hurtful one for me out of the way, just to get it out of the way. And it's about music, and it's something I love. So, Alex, number one, I told you this in what I was saying is I always wanted to be a dad. You know, it still hurts me that I don't have the time now to raise a child from birth, proper birth, to adulthood now. Like, I don't. And for the most part, I probably won't. Would I ever adopt a kid? Yes, that's crossed my mind many times, but I would still want to be there for the kid. It's not like walking a fucking dog or taking your, you know, doing that stuff. It's more personal to me. So when we lost the kid at the time, I was very depressed. I was in a dark place I was just very heartbroken. And because of music, I found an outlet, some place to help me get through this bad place at the time. So I went to drinking hard, like you guys don't know. And Ambien, like I just mentioned with Andrew, and that he said, wow, like that's something not to fuck with. And I have no problem telling you guys straight up exactly what I was going through at all. I don't mind sharing these stories with you. And, the next one is going to be something I didn't mention is when I was taking Ambien, I was taking half pills of horse pills of Ambien, which are still fucking pretty ginormous, and still drinking with them. Ambien is something that should be taken alone. It's a sleeping fucking aid, and I was drinking with it, and I laugh about it. I was drinking with it, so it pretty much essentially puts you lights out, nobody's fucking home, lights on completely, like you're awake, you're doing it. It's like blacked out. You don't remember anything you goddamn fucking did. And if you get in bar fights, you don't know what the fuck's going on. And if you're hurt, sore, bloody, bruised up the next day, you don't fucking realize it because you were fucking gone. And I didn't use it as a sleeping aid. And that's terrible to say. But I did not use it as a sleeping aid. So when I was in this fucking place way back when, the music is what helped me out and get me through this dark place, this place that I don't want anyone to ever go through, ever. So from here on out, you guys are going to hear funny episodes. And the gauge was like this one, the feedback off of this one, the filler episode, was great at the time because you guys don't know how many people came out of the woodwork telling me stories about, I used to do this, I used to do that. You made me feel so much better letting me know like I wasn't alone in feeling this way. That's why that episode means so much to me, even though I sounded like a pussy and I sounded like I was going to cry a few times and I got choked up a few times. But to be able to share a story like that, that means something to me. And even though as vulnerable as I was that day, and I did say something like, I've never been that vulnerable since. The only time I've been that vulnerable since I've been recording was when my dad passed away. So when I said that's a lie, that was a lie I was telling you guys in the intro, giving you the insight of what you guys are going to listen to. Besides that episode, the coming back for me and recording it and hitting it hard was losing my dad. And that would make sense to anyone. And I want this show to be relatable to everyone across the board. I never want anyone to feel stigmatized or ostracized because you're different. And I'm not that person at all. So thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Alex. Now, here are the bullet points, and that's explaining why I put in the last filler episode. I'm going to fill you in on the life. So the first one was Vegas. Let's talk about The Office real quick. So The Office job a few weeks ago offered me a new position, and it is more money. It's a different position, and I had to ask, okay, if I'm going to get offered this position, I need to look out for myself of money. Like, you guys are going to give me more money, right? More pay? My supervisor asked her supervisor, and it's like, all right, we spoke about it. We can probably hook you up. This was 3 weeks ago when this happened, when this initial pitch. And this is probably TMI. And I was told, you don't have to answer right now, but think about it. Now, this story goes into the second job completely. So restaurant, we've been shorthanded at the second job, the restaurant, for the past, god damn it, fuck me, month and a half, it feels like. We're frustrated. We're feeling it every fucking night. And that night, I get asked to do fucking everything. And I can do as much as I can do, but I know my friend's Charlie is there, and she can work her ass off. And I know Ani can do shit, and I know Mackenzie, when we're there, when I know Chris is there, we're going to lose Chris soon. He's going to leave to another job. So having a shitty day, weekend, when I got the initial pitch from The Office, I'm like, okay, I can get fucking paid more. This is something I've been wanting to do. Let's learn something more about your office. Just like, now it's time to move up here again. And after the shitty day I had at the restaurant one day, it was extremely miserable and sucked. So by the time I went to work The Office the next day, the answer was pretty obvious. And I had to hit up my manager again. I'm like, and initially she's like, can I call you? So we're group messaging. So we're both on camera, and that was the initial pitch. And second day after that day, maybe a few days later, I let her know, dude, I'm sorry. I would love, and I do appreciate that you guys are ready to move me up. And I told her, honestly, the way I'm feeling at the second job, as longer days and nights as those are, as much as I'm busting my ass, and not just me, everyone that works there in the restaurant with me, we're miserable as fuck. I don't want to get moved and be miserable in this new department, even though it's more fucking money. Like, I don't want to hate life. I don't want to be miserable at both fucking jobs. Like, I would rather commit to you guys, because I am loyal. I've been there for 16, going on 17 years, and you guys know what I can fucking do. You guys know my work ethic. You guys are asking me this for a reason. And I had to shoot them down. And I told her, more so because of anything, I work a lot and I don't sleep well. I don't sleep at all for the most part. By the time I get home, 11:30, and by the time I go to sleep, 2:00 every morning to wake up early in the morning for the office. And I told her straight up, like, my manager, there's no way in hell I can do this to myself. Like, my mental state, my psychological state, my emotional state, there's no way I can do this. Like, I would rather fully commit to something like this. And thank you. I'm like, if the spot is still ever open, please don't ever disregard what I'm going through right now. But for me, again, on all those emotional, physical, mental states, this is not something I should be doing to myself, because it's a lot of work already anyways. So I thought I'd hit that up. Turned it down, straight up. Number one, how do you guys feel about that? Now, off of last week's show, filler episode, about talking about depression and health and mental health and all those things in a weird way, not necessarily mentioning them, how do you guys feel about it? Take the fucking money, Josias. Like, I'm the least materialistic person you guys are ever going to meet in your whole fucking lives. Like, I just am. I'm a simple dude. I'm a simple fucking cat. I care about the people I give a shit about. Money does not make the world go around. It does not make me, it does not give me the drive at all, at all. And this is strange how all these stores are going to come into place right now. So, next story after that. Again, what would you guys do in that instance? Next one is going to be, geez, 2 days ago, my buddy, Rudy. Okay, so I had his wedding in November 2023, went out there with my brothers and my lady, and we had a great time. My one of my best friends getting married. We've been texting each other a little bit more the past week. He's been texting me more so, which is great, because we're both music guys, and he's been sending me text messages. This is, there's a story behind this, guys. So he starts hitting me up, and I'm at work, I'm at the office, working from home, granted, I'm working remotely. He's like, Sias, are you busy? I'm like, oh, you know what, I kind of am. Give me about 5 minutes, and let me clear out these files, that way I can focus on you, dude. Let, you know, everything else that's lingering in, I can take care of it. That's fine, dude. Give me 5 minutes. So he calls me 5 minutes later, and this was fucking weird, bizarre, and nuts at the same time. What's up, Rudy? How you doing, homeboy? Good, man. How you doing, Josias? I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just working a lot, like you know what I do. How's Rudy? How is life treating you, dude? Like, how is your wife? How is the marriage treating you? The married life? How's your mom doing? How's your family? How are your brothers doing? And he starts answering with just small talk. They're good, Josias. My mom's good. She's living with me now. And explains, okay, good. Well, your mom's well. Cool. She's living with you, so you're responsible. You're married, so that's cool. It's, and he explains to me his point of view of life. And I grew up in Santa Ana, California, guys. How are your brothers? Danny is good. Mom was living with Danny. And Danny, if you're listening to the show, I hope I'm not bashing. This is not a bash on you or your family. I love you guys. You guys know that. At the wedding, Danny and I were fucking talking galore. I got to see Ken. And it was fucking dope, dude. Anyways, so Rudy and I are just catching up. How are your brothers doing? Danny's fucking always good. You know, my mom was living with him, and now she's going to move with us. All right, because he has the bigger family now, and the wife too. We don't have that here, so she's able to do it. Good. I'm glad, you know, she's with you. And I'm like, so how's Jake doing? Oh, Jake, dude, we had to kick him out of the house finally. We had to evict him. So, again, grew up in Santa Ana, born and fucking raised, and still proud of it. What the fuck, dude? What the fuck happened? It's like, well, he moved all of F Troop into the fucking house, and he had about fucking 60 to 80 fucking people living in the house. I'm like, what the fuck? He's like, nah, man, it was bad. Like, they destroyed everything. They destroyed the house. Fuck. I don't want to get too personal here, because I love Rudy, and I love Danny. And Jacob, I love their mom and respect them, and even respected their dad when he was around. So I'm not going to go into that story, so I'm going to end that one right there. So just catching up, and then Rudy ends up saying, like, I'm like, I'm so fucking sorry, Rudy. He's like, it happens. I'm like, motherfucker, that does not happen. And he's looking at it, and Rudy's a good dude. Good heart, good mind, good person, good dude. One of my best friends. And he starts laughing, and he's like, yeah, you're right, it doesn't. I'm like, no, dick, this does not fucking happen. So just us friends catching up, which we haven't done, really, minus text message, since his wedding, on his wedding day. And he finally hits me up after like 10, 15 minutes, just catching up. How are you doing, Rudy? How are you doing, Josias? I'm working a lot all the time, Rudy. Yeah, I know. He's like, so the reason I called you up, and I'm like, my head goes to two things. Like, number one, I love you. You need me to drop you off somewhere? This is what I'm thinking. Or you need money. And Rudy has never asked me for money. Like, he's been one of those friends that has never asked me, can you let me use some money? So he finally says, I have something to ask you, I guess. And he says, Josias, I have something to ask you. I'm like, go for it, man. Ask me anything. And I'm like, okay, how much do I need to let you use in my head? And he's like, I heard the other day, when he's like, I need to tell you this first. My brother Danny had someone sage his house the other day. And this girl that was there knew and went to school with Danny. Danny and I graduated the same year. The older brother Jacob and I graduated the same year. Danny was a year after me, and Rudy was 2 years behind me. So I wrestled with all three of the brothers in high school. I'm just giving you guys context in this story. So this girl that sieges Danny's house, the middle child, there's only three brothers, and she starts telling Danny about me and people we went to school with. And I don't know who brought up whose name. And she goes like, oh, Josiah's? Oh, yeah. Did you know he died of a heroin overdose? Now, this is news to me, guys. I, number one, did not know I've ever done heroin in my whole life. And number two, I did not know I died and overdosed doing heroin ever before. And before I continue on real quick, number one, there's no question of the week. The question of the week, I think I asked a few months ago, what's the worst thing you've ever heard about you before? And mine back then was like an ex-girlfriend said, like, I used to hit her, which was completely untrue. And Danny told Rudy, call Moses, which is my older brother. Call Moses and find out what's going on. And Rudy said, bullshit. And Rudy has the same sensibilities as me. So the way I talk when I say, fuck this, fuck that, fuck you, fuck this bullshit. He's like, no, I'm going to go straight to fucking Josiah. So he's like, bullshit. I was talking to him last week. So he finally hits me up. Josiah, this girl said you died of a heroin overdose. And number one, how would you guys feel about someone like this? I start fucking rolling. I'm laughing like hysterically. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I fucking died. And he starts fucking laughing. So we're having a great laugh about this. He's like, damn it, Joe, you did such a good job of hiding your addiction for so long. And I'm like, no shit. He's like, you're an asshole though. I'm like, fuck, why? He's like, you never invited me to your wake and just made me laugh some more. All this is hysterical to me because, number one, I'm looking at like, who the fuck is bitch? And I'm going to say things probably, fuck it. I just don't give a fuck. Number one, who the fuck is broad? Who fucking said this? That anyone, if you think you know me, you don't fucking know me at all. At fucking all, you don't fucking know me. So for this bitch, for this fucking dumb broad to say, oh yeah, Josiah's died of a heroin overdose. Number one, even in my darkest fucking moments, my darkest times, I've done speed. I've done shrooms before. I've done acid before. I've seen heroin in my life. There's no way in hell Josiah would ever do heroin. So if you don't know me, again, fuck you. That's number one. I want to know who girl is. He said it's like Angelique or Angelica. I don't remember her name. And he's the one who told her straight up, bullshit, I just spoke to fucking Josiah. Hence the call. So we're having a good time laughing about this. And I don't get offended. Like I don't get offended by this. Like, it's like, what the fuck? Sorry, that was my keyboard, guys. What the fuck's going on? Like, who the fuck thinks they know me this well? Apparently not this broad that says she went to high school with me, graduated the same year as me, same age as me. And she's the one staging Danny's house. And we find out, just the talk continuing on between Rudy and I, that she's Cocoa Puffs, obviously, right? And I'm like, okay, that's fucking funny, dude. And the conversation, dude, thanks for hitting me up, dude, because that's what friends are supposed to do. Fuck the bullshit, fuck the rumors, go to the source or someone that's involved in it. And you know your friends so well that you can easily hit up your friends. I mean, that's the way I feel, is always do that. And one of my best friends, and in the conversation, I told him, hey, Rudy, it was great talking to you, dude. I'm sorry I didn't invite you to my wake, but please say something nice to me for my funeral, you know? And he starts fucking laughing. He's like, don't worry, I will. And in the conversation, I'm like, dude, Rudy, it was great catching up, man. I miss you. I love you. And Rudy has never been that fucking dude before. And he's like, likewise, Josiah, I love you too, man. So to tell your friends you love them, that's not the aw moment at all. It's just when you get older, you realize what you have and what you don't have. And when people say things about you, is fucking beyond me. All this is going to wrap up and encompass one thing in particular. And I thought this was going to be a short show, and I brought an article for you guys because I thought this was going to be a short show. All these stories, so Josiah's taking off 1 week. Do you see, do you hear, understand what Josiah goes through on a day-to-day to weekly fucking basis where it's like, motherfucker, how do you have so many stories about things that are going on? And how does this shit only happen to you? It doesn't always happen to me. Everyone has a fucking story. And if you don't believe me, here's another one. A few weeks ago, before my Vegas trip, the office hit me up. Josias, you're due for a new computer. Your tower. My tower is fucking the size of a trade paperback. Like an inch thick, though. But like just smaller even than a trade paperback. Josias, we need you to come into the office. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I got to pick that up. Turn in my old shit, my old computer. It's tower, which is tiny again. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to swing for the fucking fences here. Chris, I've had these monitors for the past fucking, before COVID, the past 8 years, dude. He's like, don't worry about it. I fucking got you. Now, I love fucking Chris. And when I went into the office, Chris, if you're listening, fucking dope, dude. You did fantastic. I fucking love you. You're dope. You're rad. I hope I'm not the only one that tells you how much I appreciate the hard work you do and you've been doing. Even prior to fucking COVID. So I go into the office and take my monitors that weigh like 25 pounds each monitor. That's how old they are. And he hooks me up with fresh equipment. And as I'm sitting in their IT office with him, he's like, all right, let's fix up your CPU. Let's get you logged in, your old information. Let's get you going. Dope, dude. And as we're chit-chatting, as we're doing all this, he's like, dude, I saw you pop up somewhere. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Please. He's like, do you have a fucking podcast? I'm like, I fucking do. And he starts asking me, he's like, fuck, you do. He's like, shit, what's it about? And I never like pitching the podcast, which is weird. And I don't know if that's it's definitely a me thing. But I never want to do that to people or like force feed people like on my Facebook. It's not personal shit. It's all about fucking the podcast mainly. And my Instagram is what I'm doing cool at this time. And not food. It's about the fucking podcast. X, Twitter, same fucking thing. Snapchat, same fucking thing. The way I look at it is promotion and self-promotion. That's all it is. So when people like that ask me, it's like, fuck, I don't want to give you the elevator pitch here. But it's like, yeah, dude. And he starts asking questions about the podcast. I'm like, it's a pop culture podcast. Does it pay? And all those things. And I answer all the questions. Like, I don't ever mind answering those. He's like, I got to check you out sometime. Don't worry about it, dude. I'm boring and I suck most times, dude. Don't worry about it. And I'm very self-deprecating. So anyways, got new equipment. That's about the equipment. Now, I just had to give Chris some love because it's been a while since I've hit this. And the week I got my new equipment, I'm trying to give everyone love here. So Charlie, I hope I give you some love. Your brother hits me up all the time. Charlie, because of the raise and new position I was offered, you literally just texted me, you're going to leave me. I'm like, no, dude, you're going to leave me before I leave you. Like, I love you, and I love your brother, and I even love the coworkers at the second job. Like, the ones that I care about, you guys know I care about, and I'm not going to be one to bail on you guys, especially for fucking more fucking money. Well, I guess it depends. And still, on that topic. So, come back, and last night, dude, I'm going to tell you guys even a longer fucking story. This, I didn't realize was going to be this long of a show. Last night, I saw Chevelle. So when I took in my equipment to see Chris, I saw some old coworkers, and we start talking concerts, and I get invited to a Chevelle concert. I'm like, oh, I don't know, dude. I'm like, fuck yeah, it sounds dope. But it was just a quick conversation. Coworkers from the office proper that I don't get to see anymore at all. Ended up picking up Chevelle concert tickets in, fuck me, Highlands, Riverside County in California. And it's a trek. It sucked. But let me go into this story because this one I really have to fucking talk about. Number one thing, rule number one for me is Josias does not go out on school nights. The way I look at Monday through Friday is if I'm working both jobs, I have to be ready to go run and gun for the office because I have to be that fucking focused. And a lot of people don't know the world of two fucking jobs, especially something. The second job, as stressful as it is, the office job, dealing with hundreds of thousands to millions to hundreds of millions of dollars, is fucking stressful. Like, that's it. And I'm never going to compare what I do to what anyone else does, work-wise. Because, number one, we each have our own stores, we each have our own lives, and that should never affect me, and vice versa. A lot of people can't disconnect those things at all. So everyone's always going to think they're going to do better and work more than you. The biggest takeaway I have to say is my audience alone. I know we have a lot. I know I have a lot of single mothers out there. And the stories I've heard from you girls, you women, that chime in every now and then. That when we do have a female audience as well, guys. Are nuts to me. You guys are the superheroes, not me, not what I do. Like, everyone tells me, just as fuck, you work a lot. Eric tells me, used to tell me a lot, dude, you're burning the candle at both ends. Like, are you okay? Eric, the story I mentioned earlier about the raise and the new position. Yeah, dude, I'm well aware of what I'm doing to myself. Hence why I had to turn down that job and promotion and offer. And that being said, going back to Chevelle now. I work so much for several reasons. Number one, the cost of living in California fucking sucks. It's fucking nuts. It got so expensive, just the cost of living. And I work so much sometimes as well as paying off everything I do fucking pay off and to take a fucking vacation too, though. Like, I'm working to do fun shit. I'm working to go to Vegas. I'm working to go to concerts like this out of the fucking blue. So I'm recording this Thursday, April 18th, 2024 at 5:30 p.m. And got offered from the office. We have an extra ticket. Do you want to go to Chevelle? Sweet. When is it? Where is it? San Diego on Wednesday. Fuck. All right, cool. Let me see if I can request off, which I was able to request off time from the jobs. And went out there last night. And let me tell you a story about Chevelle, this band. I'm a huge music guy. So if you guys heard last week's filler episode, I love fucking music. The night before that, I was listening to Chevelle just to get in the fucking mood and mode for it. Several stories. When my dad passed away, I did mention, and I know a bunch of you guys heard it, I took a break off, not just from recording, but from music, from reading, from writing, music, from reading, writing, recording the podcast, because I was in another funk and another hole. I didn't want to feel happy. It is honestly what it was. So when I was finally able to start listening to music again, it wasn't Mad Season, it wasn't Audio Slave, it wasn't Soundgarden, it wasn't Alice in Chains, it wasn't my typical go-tos. For some reason, it was Chevelle that I went to. So last night, Tuesday night, I start listening to Chevelle, and then having this conversation with the girl, and finally describing to her what this band means to me. And in a weird way, it also makes sense. Again, the encompassing filler episode as well. Now, we had a structure fire at our house years ago, so 2002, and we lost our fucking house. Like, it got burned up in a structure fire. A lot of clothes, my whole comic book collection. Now, this is going to make sense now, talking about comics and why I do what I do. All my comic books. Huge collection, long boxes, number ones through full runs of everything, signed number ones, signed number 25s, by writers, artists, everyone, and full fucking runs of X-Men, of Batman, of Nightwing, full fucking runs of Daredevil, full runs of everything, a bunch of them sign. Poof, gone. Blaze of fucking glory. When the fire happened, that's why I stopped collecting comics. Because everything, all my own money that I put into it, everything that I loved and cared about, like, it was just a library. It literally was a fucking library. And granted, an expensive library to compile, but the price of if I would have sold what was lost, fuck, a few hundred, a few hundred thousand, no, a few 10,000, 20, 30, $30,000, maybe. My two guitars survived, which those were my favorite things besides comic books. My dad's stuff gone, sister's stuff gone, everything poof gone. Guitars, three guitars and the acoustics. So two electrics, one acoustic survived. And even though I lost and kept my guitars, my dad's stuff gone, my brother's, sister's, siblings' stuff poof gone. The biggest loss that day was our two dogs. And those were the biggest losses. Like, I still to this day, I am the most unmaterialistic person you're ever going to meet. I don't need flashy. I don't need anything. I need simple. And when you lose something that means something to you, like animals like that, learning it at that age, at 22, where it's like, fuck, everything can literally be gone like that. It puts your head in a different perspective of things. So we lose our house, poof gone, lose our dogs, and we were living, and I have no problem telling this story at all. We moved into a hotel. There was like, we rented out three hotel rooms, three of us together to fit, geez, the brothers and I, and Moses, myself, and Ray in one, Leobeth in the other, and I think my mom at the time, and my dad, and the dog. Not the dog, fuck. So, at this time, I'm working Target. Poof, gone everything. I had my guitar, so I was able to play, not plug in to my amps, but just play my acoustic, and it's like, fuck, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't sound right. I was working at Target at the time, and the only thing I needed was fucking music. And I picked up a CD player. I was in charge of electronics at the time, and picked up the first CD I picked up was Chevelle, Wonder What's Next album. Hit up Target. They knew exactly what was going on because I let them know, like, dude, everyone I worked with was so loving and compassionate, and the way everyone donated so much stuff to us, stuff that didn't fit me because I'm a medium, and everyone was giving us like extra large clothes, and we were living in that world for 2.5-3 weeks. And again, not bad, because I understand the worst we lost were the dogs. You know, we're alive. We're fine. Like, we're okay. You know, we can get through this. And the album that I picked up at the time was Chevelle, Wonder What's Next album. It's their second album. And I start playing it. And I could have easily taken a week or 2 weeks off. Work was fine telling me, like, Josiah, like, get your shit together. Like, we know you lost. We know you lost your house. We know you lost your dogs. Everyone that had an animal was just heartbroken and crying to me and my sisters. And all of us really like, fuck, I'm sorry. And, you know, that probably hurt the most. People in my life, in my world, have told me, I always feel sorry for my fucking self. And that's not true at all. If you think that, you fucking sure as shit do not fucking know me. And don't pretend you fucking know me, because you don't know what loss is, you don't know what hurt is, you don't know what fucking pain is. So, sitting in the hotel room, I pick up this album and I start fucking listening to it on a CD player, legit CD, Walkman, Discman. And these songs fucking hit for me for some fucking reason. And even though work told me day one I went in, I'm like, just to let you guys know, I don't know when I'm going to come back. Take care of what you need to take care of. Don't worry about it. You're not going to lose your job. Day two, I had to go back and tell them I'm ready to work. And everyone's looking at me like I'm doing something special or good. I don't know. But they're like, dude, like, you got shit to take care of. I'm like, we're taking care of shit as best we can. I'm not going to sit in the fucking hotel room fucking feeling sorry for myself. Like, I have to do something. I need to do something. I need to work. I need to do something. And manager told me, are you sure? No, I need it, dude. All right, fuck it. Yeah, do whatever you want, man. If you're happy working, then do it. So, getting off of work at whatever time I would get off, pick up some food. What the fuck do you guys want? Are you guys hungry? Let's pick you guys up some fucking food. Whenever anyone tells me I feel sorry for myself, again, you don't know me. I'm the dude, when life attacks you, I fucking attack fucking back. And you punch life fucking right back in its fucking face. And you show life, I'm not fucking done. I'm not fucking done yet. So, Chevelle. So, told the lady this Tuesday. And a story I've never shared with her. Like, fuck, you don't. She never knew I went through that. She never knew about the house fire. She never knew I lost everything and the dogs. She never knew about this comic book collection that I had, that I lost my passion for reading comics because I put so much time and effort into this and it's all gone. And my head at the time, it's like, money, this is up. I could have sent my kids to college with this money. Was even not where my head was at. It's like, we lost Snowflake and we lost Milo, the dogs. So when you don't understand, and when you don't know, and when you don't know me, people shouldn't fucking judge people about a goddamn fucking thing. Again, this is not poor me. It's never been poor Josias. I lost a kid a long time ago with an ex-girlfriend. Poor Josias back then, not poor me fucking now. I lost two dogs a long time ago in a house fire. Not poor me. Poor dogs. I lost my comic book collection a long fucking time ago. That would have been worth tens of thousands of dollars at least. Not poor me. Not poor comics. Poor comics. Poor comic book collectors. Not poor me ever. No. 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 You don't fucking know me. Hearing this band gave me that, alright motherfucker, get to fucking work. Like, there's something I have on my wall, on my Led Zeppelin poster, and literally it's going to go back to Charlie again and her brother Alex. And the note that Charlie gave me for Christmas last year, and a drawing where I look like I'm going to host a bar mitzvah from Alex that he drew of me. And there's a little poster I have. It's a Led Zeppelin Stairway to Heaven poster. There comes a time in everyone's life when he simply has to put one foot in front of the other and get on with the business of living. If that's fucking poor me, poor fucking you for thinking you know me. And if you think any of your words are ever gonna fucking hurt me, they don't at all. Especially when you tell me Josias died of a heroin overdose. Fuck me. That's awesome. That's fucking awesome. The concert was fucking sick. Dope. They played The Red. He played it by himself and then the band came out. They played Vitamin R. They played Comfortable Liar. They played their new songs. God damn it. They played Jars. They played fucking everything. The whole set was fucking good. And I fucking loved it. And it made me feel getting pumped up for it Tuesday, listening to their catalog, their full catalog, and knowing they never play anything off of the first album, which is point number one. But to still hear Forfeit is one of my favorite songs. Closure, I would have loved to hear them play Closure. Closure, they didn't fucking play, but they played The Red, Vitamin R, They played The Clincher, Comfortable Liar. They played Jars. They played everything. And I fucking loved it. And to describe it to the girl Tuesday night and even tell her the story, minus the comic book collection getting lost, and for her to get it in a weird way, and then to go to the concert with her last night, and for her to see me rock out and to sing every goddamn fucking song, and for her to record me, and like, nope, keep your eyes on the fucking band, like, they're right there. And then for her to look over at me and say, I didn't know they were this good. She's like, they're fucking good. I'm like, I know. Best way to describe the band, I love Tool. I love Maynard James Keenan as a singer. What's his name? Lead guitarist. Fucking horror guy. But I love this fucking band. And even the way he sings like Chino. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Chino. Like Maynard. And they sound like Tool, to the point where one of the videos I recorded was like, even the women around in front of us said, like, they sound like Tool. I love this band. I know this is a band that's not for everyone. Find it out, search it, seek it. I love it. It was great. It was fantastic. Yeah, I had a great time. It made me feel again. And I have this band to thank again, just like when you guys, it's weird how it all works out, right? Like, last week I played a filler episode of music and someone I loved and adored that helped me get through a bad and rough patch in my life. And to the point where, fuck, years after that, there's a structure firehouse and you lose fucking everything. And music is the thing that gets you going, Josias. So it makes sense in a weird fucking way. And I thought this was going to be a short show. Give me a few. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the
Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and are having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, fuck it. Let's hit some comic reviews real quick. Precursor? No precursor. Josias has been busy living life, and that's it. Like, when I say I don't have enough time to read, I don't have enough time to write, when Josias needs to go on vacation to settle Josias's head, and when Josias wants to rock out, we're all entitled to these things. I work so fucking much. And I'm entitled to, and I deserve to take some time for me to do whatever the fuck I want. So I haven't had enough time to read, and that's not a cop-out, but I do have a review for you guys. DC Comics Nightwing number 112. Tom Taylor is the writer, Sam Bassery is the artist, Vicente Caifuentes is the inker. Adriano Lucas is the colorist, Wes Abbott is the letterer. This one starts off with inner monologue from Batman. Dick Grayson took an oath. He grew up to be a leader, to help save the world, to build up an entire city. But before that, he was a child who had lost everything and was angry, as we see a young Richard Dick Grayson with boxing gloves on, sparring with Batman. So Batman has his cowl on. As Batman's inner monologue continues, it was an anger few could understand. As Batman mid-session tells Dick, stop, that's enough. But I understand it. And again, he says, stop now. As Batman now has to take, physically stop an attack from this young kid. And we get this look from this kid now. And in his eyes, the way it's drawn is dope. And the kid knows he fucked up. And Dick Grayson says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. As Batman now takes off his cowl. And Batman tells him, all that anger you're feeling, it's okay. In here. But this is the only place it's okay. You can't take it out there. You're not hitting pads out there. There are people. and some will do violent, terrible things that will fill you with fury. But we don't know what led them to the life they're in. We don't know if they're acting willingly. Our job is to stop them, but we can't be the ones to punish. I have crossed that line. So very cool, just the conversation between these two. As Batman continues on, which again is very cool. So I'm going to pull this about stopping the wicked. It's about my own anger. We can't hurt people because our parents died. So again, Bruce, now without the cowl, talking to a young Dick Grayson. That's enough for today. And young Dick Grayson. Bruce, why us? Because why you're hitting yourself so hard? Because of the pain behind each blow. Because we know how much it hurts to lose what we lost. And if we can't stop that happening to others, and he gets interrupted by the young Dick Grayson, then we have to. Batman answers, Bruce answers, yes, this is what we have to do. This is what our family does. And young Dick Grayson, Bruce, I don't want to hurt anyone out there. I'd like to keep training. Good. It goes to Gotham now and what's going on. Dick Grayson, Barbara Gordon talking, and Barbara telling Dick, like, dude, Bruce is asking for some blood samples. He wants to know. And Dick interrupts, like, I already told him about your fear of heights, that you can't jump anymore, that you can't fly and do your shit anymore. Yeah. So just very cool interaction between these two. And Dick says straight up, tosses on his Nightwing fucking gear and like, it's time to fucking go to work. It's time to fucking go to work. I need to find out about this fucking kid. I need to find out what happened. So prior issue that I did review, I believe. And it's Dick Grayson, Nightwing now, going to the home of the kid that got kidnapped by his uncle. And it goes into Batman being there at the house already. And like, they're giving each other intel on what's happening. And they're trying to figure out, like, what the fuck happened? Like, okay, the uncle said the mother and father had money. What the fuck happened? And then they booked it to, oh my God, where was it? They booked it international flight. And Nightwing's like, fuck this bullshit. We got to figure out what's going on. So Dick Grayson, Nightwing goes to fucking work on the laptop and finds out information that he needs. And Batman's just watching him work the whole time. And Dick Grayson is able to figure out, Nightwing is able to figure out, like, okay, the uncle killed the parents so he can get the fucking money. And Bruce, do you have your fucking car here? Of course I have the car. How far is it? What do you mean? It's like, we have to get to the fucking Bloodhaven right fucking now. And this is when Batman and Nightwing get to Bloodhaven. And this is still Batman's inner monologue going off the Titans. Dick didn't need to pull this team together. It formed around him, a real team, a team that trusts each other, that cares for each other. The Justice League was effective, professional. As they walk in, Dick, are you okay? I will be. And Batman, this is something else. A few weeks ago, Dick and his friends saved over 1 million people. Now he's dropping everything for a single child. As Nightwing talks to Cyborg, Cy, Batman and I need the T-Jet. Sure, I'll make sure it's ready for you. Thanks. Which is exactly as it should be, Batman. And we see Beast Boy. Hey, Batman, can I have a word? What is it, Beast Boy? You're used to people hating you, right? That came out wrong. It's just since Beast World. Well, how do you deal with people being scared of you? And then Batman asks, do you do this to be liked? No. Batman answers, no. You do this to help. Yeah, and you didn't just help, you saved the world. It's hard for people to see the truth when they're holding torches and pitchforks in front of their faces. But anyone who hasn't been blinded by manufactured outrage, anyone with an ounce of sense or logic can see that you're a hero. You saved everyone on the planet, Garfield, Logan. Nothing else matters. So just very cool interaction. As Bruce and, I guess, Nightwing and Dick Grayson now go out to fucking find the uncle that kidnapped the fucking kid for this fucking money that the uncle thinks he was owed. As they fucking arrive on time, and Batman and Nightwing show up at the airport. Usually, and this is Batman just watching this go down, usually Nightwing quips. He's not in that place now. He can lose some objectivity when a child is left behind. I'm glad he does. I've learned to detach during a case, to see problems to get through rather than people, to examine an exit wound instead of seeing a life lost. Dick can't do that. But he doesn't let his emotions cloud his judgment. His emotions fuel him, and it's dope to see just now this scrap between both of the crew that Batman and Nightwing are here to stop, and this fucking Asian fucking crew full of fucking guns. We fall into a pattern without thinking. Years of training and fighting together. He knows I'll block anything coming at him. I know his blows will be where mine aren't. Just cool fight scenes. And very cool just to see again Batman. He's gotten better. More efficient. He's making sure not to do lasting harm. But he's not wasting a single strike. This isn't a circus for him. There's no flair for flair's sake. He's on a mission to get the boy. And just fucking cool to see that. And again, to see Batman look at Dick Grayson as Nightwing this way. So they're taking care of business in this fucking scrap, this fight. And Nightwing is going after the fucking kid that his uncle has at gunpoint. And the dude, the uncle, puts a fucking gun, points it at Nightwing and shoots at him. Batman says, a single shot. Hits his arm, shooting his face. He took the shot on purpose. Drew the gun away from the boy. Nightwing. That's the only thing he says out loud. He doesn't have the same protection I do. His suit is built for more movement. It will stop the bullet, but not the kinetic force. That impact, something will definitely be broken in his arm. It would feel like being hit by a sledgehammer. He should be knocked down. My son isn't knocked down. Just fucking cool to fucking see. And Nightwing says, go to Batman. I need to fucking take care of this. And the kid's scared of Batman. He's like, go to Batman. He'll take care of you. He's always taking care of me. So just very, very cool. And the kid goes up to him and holds on to Batman. And it's just fucking cool to see. And then Dick goes now and confronts the fucking uncle. This asshole that had the parents fucking killed to get this fucking money. And this is Batman as he's watching this Nightwing now ready to fuck up the fucking uncle. I know the anger in him. In this moment, the hurt. I've felt it. I've acted on it. I can understand, and I can understand and forgive whatever happens next. But nothing comes next. I don't know what will happen to Eco, the kid, but I know Dick Grayson will make sure he's taken care of. Tomorrow and forever after. That is what our family does. Just a fucking cool read I needed. I know it's always weird when I read and talk about shit and go through shit, and this one kind of made sense. So, to end the show, I don't even know what the fuck to call this. There's no question of the week. I almost am at a loss for words, and I know that's weird and bizarre for Josias because the dude who can't shut the fuck up. I guess it's more, if you have the audacity to fucking tell people they feel sorry for themselves when they're the only ones fucking doing way more than you can fucking hope to imagine, do me a huge favor and just don't. Don't tell people shit. Until you're willing to put your balls on the fucking table and go to fucking work like young Josias was, not feeling sorry for himself, then go and do it. Go and prove something, but prove something to yourself before anyone else. I guess that's all I got. I hope you guys didn't mind my tangents. This was a weird one. I brought an article that I did not touch at all. And I hope you guys liked the stories. If you want me more talking like this, let me know. If you guys hate this, let me know. If you guys want more comic reviews, let me know. Comic news, everything, let me fucking know. You guys know, hopefully by now, after last week's filler episode, I'm an open book. I can share anything at any fucking point. Like, I'm that fucking dude. A lot of people don't like to open the skeletons in their fucking closet. I kick down that fucking door. I don't keep them locked away. I like confronting my demons and my skeletons. And a lot of people are never willing to do that. What kind of person are you willing to do? Or what kind of person would you be? All right. I will catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening. I love you guys. Share the podcast. And I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.